We take you now to the House of Representatives of the United States Congress, where very brave congressmen and women are speaking about the pending rule changes at the Federal Communications Commission, brought on by the extreme right-wing part of our government.
I want to just emphasize a point that Congresswoman Woolsey just made. I think sometimes when people turn on a television or they pick up a newspaper, they say, well, a company owns this newspaper, and a lot of companies will put out different newspapers, different types of television stations, and so forth and so on. What people are not aware of is the degree, the number of separate companies that one large corporation owns. And I want to take, just let me start off with an example and go to Viacom. I suspect that most people have never even heard of Viacom. Who is Viacom? What is Viacom? So let me tell you a little bit about Viacom. Viacom is a huge multinational corporation that owns TV stations, radio stations, TV networks, and many other media outlets. For example, this is just Viacom. Just Viacom. When you turn on CBS Network, that's Viacom. You turn on the UPN Network, Viacom, MTV, Nickelodeon, TV Land, CMT, TNN, VH1, Showtime, Movie Channel, Sundance Channel, Flick, Black Entertainment, Comedy Central. You think you're watching different companies. You're not. That's Viacom. Well, you get off the TV now. You drive into work. Turn on the radio. There are 180 Infinity radio stations owned by Viacom. Well, what about local television stations? We've got the big CBS. What about the local television stations? They must be locally owned. Wrong. We have 34 stations that Viacom owns in Philadelphia, in Boston, in Dallas, in Detroit, Miami, Pittsburgh, among other places. Well, yeah, they're in radio, they're in television, but at least when I go to the movies, I'm getting away from this corporation, right? Well, not quite. When you watch Paramount Pictures, it's Viacom, MTV Films, Viacom, Nickelodeon, Contentville, The Free Press, MTV Books, Nickelodeon Books, Simon & Schuster. Well, I'm into music now. That's not Viacom. Wrong. Famous Music Publishers, Pocket Books, Viacom, Star Trek franchise, Scribner Publishers, Viacom, Touchstone, Spelling Entertainment, Big Ticket TV, Viacom Productions, King World Productions. All one company. One company. And they say it ain't enough. We don't own enough media. We need to own more media. Break down the regulations so we can own more television stations. We can own more book publishing companies and so forth. Very dangerous trend. And now it gives me a great pleasure to introduce clearly one of the outstanding members of the U.S. House of Representatives, Jan Schakowsky from Illinois.
Thank you. I thank so much my colleague from Vermont, Mr. Sanders, for giving me this opportunity, because it's not every day that we get to come down to the floor of the House and defend the essentials of our democracy, to talk about defending the Constitution of the United States, the First Amendment, freedom of speech, freedom of the press. It's the very core values of this country that we're talking about today. This is definitely the most important telecommunications issue of our time. And more than that, whether or not ordinary people are going to have access to divergent views, this is a value that our country has embraced from its beginning, that we should have the opportunity to hear different voices, to get different opinions, and make up our own mind. So I'm here today to call on the Federal Communications Commission, its chairman, Mr. Powell, and President Bush, to listen to the American people, to support media diversity and localism, and to not allow even more concentration of the media. The Bush administration and the FCC have tuned out public voices and tuned in Rupert Murdoch. I suppose you'll probably talk about him and media barons, because people need to know who is controlling the messages that they hear when they want to get the news, when they want to know what's going on in the world and in our country. People in my district and around the country are demanding that the FCC hear their voices. That is why just last week, the Chicago City Council unanimously approved by a vote of 50-0 a resolution that urges the FCC to strengthen existing media ownership rules, not to weaken them. And today and yesterday, I received 1,000 emails from my constituents. I'm going to read one of them. Dear Congresswoman Schakowsky, Congress shall pass no law restricting the right to free speech. Letting one big business control all available news organs for any locality is a monopoly. Since when do corporations have a right to control our free speech? Since when do their rights trump the average citizen's? Is the Bush administration trying every means conceivable to control our means of debate and dissent? I urge you and your colleagues in Congress to promote a diverse, balanced, and competitive media. Please stop the FCC rule change on June 2nd. We allow media companies to use the airwaves in exchange for their assurance that they're serving the public interest. And it's the FCC's job to make sure that's so. Please hold the FCC to its mandate and oppose the rule change. This is from one woman in my district, but imagine now two full reams of paper from individuals in my district with the very same message. They are sounding the alarm. A free and open media is central to our democracy. It promotes civic discussion, encourages public participation in policy debates, ensures representation of ideological, cultural, and geographic diversity. I cannot overstate the importance of the FCC's review of media ownership rules in deciding whether the principles of the First Amendment will be embraced in everyday reality or only in theory. Media ownership concentration is already a major threat to our democracy. In the last 25 years, the number of TV station owners has declined from 540 to 460, and the number of TV newsrooms has dropped almost 15%. Three-quarters of cable channels are owned by only six corporate entities, four of which are major TV networks. 70% of all markets have four or fewer sources of original TV news production. In 1965, there were 860 owners of daily newspapers. Today, less than 300. The Supreme Court has maintained that the First Amendment is designed to achieve the widest possible dissemination of information from diverse and antagonistic sources. Media ownership diversity is critical to ensuring that we protect the First Amendment. Over the years, the courts have supported the belief of Congress that independent ownership of media outlets results in more diverse media voices, greater competition, and more local content. Over the last few years, we have seen considerable ownership consolidation in the media, while at the same time, we have seen important public interest protections eliminated. For the first 50 years after the enactment of the 1934 Communications Act, people had a right to petition the FCC if they found coverage to be one-sided. We called that the Fairness Doctrine, and it required broadcasters to cover issues of public importance and to do so fairly until, in 1987, under immense pressure from the media, it was eliminated. The law of the Fairness Doctrine, a major blow to consumers, was supposed to be alleviated by a blossoming of independent local outlets that would expand diversity by increasing competition. In other words, consumers would no longer be able to use the Fairness Doctrine to ensure that their views were represented on a specific media outlet, but the thought was, would be able to present those views through competing media in the same market. Unfortunately, the public is now faced with increased concentration, not increased competition, and no longer has the Fairness Doctrine to fall back on. The FCC should reinstate the Fairness Doctrine. At the very least, they should not even allow more ownership concentration that makes the loss of the Fairness Doctrine more onerous. Greater media ownership concentration limits the public's access to diverse viewpoints. Radio provides an example of what can happen when media ownership rules are abolished. In 1996, Congress eliminated the national ownership caps for radio. The result? Greater consolidation in the radio industry in almost half of the largest markets. The three largest corporations control 80% of the radio audience. This has made it harder for diverse opinions to be heard. Just last month, Clear Channel refused to air an advertisement in which I was inviting people to an event that was organized to for people who opposed the war in Iraq. It was a gathering, and I wanted cut a commercial to air on the radio to see if people wanted to come. Clear Channel refused to put that advertisement on the air, even... Yes?
They had to pay for that ad.
Oh, absolutely. This was a paid-for ad.
All right. So what we have now, and I think people should be aware of this, it is bad situation when the media does not provide adequate coverage for different points of view, and that we are seeing. What the Congresswoman is saying is that when individuals want to buy time at the going rates, they are not even allowed to do that. That is an outrage. That is unacceptable. And we are seeing more and more of that. If I like your point of view, you can buy an ad on my radio station. If I don't, sorry, we don't want your money.
That is exactly right. This was not a public service announcement. This was not asking a favor of the radio station. This was, we want to buy an ad that invites people to a public gathering on the issue of most importance in the country at the time, and we were not able to sell, to buy that ad. They would not sell it to us, even as its affiliates were organizing pro-war rallies around the country on the air. And yesterday, as has been pointed out, 11 members of the United States House of Representatives, the Democratic whip, the Democratic leader of our caucus, Mr. Sanders, who has been organizing around this effort of media, this issue of media concentration, an expert on the subject, held a press conference and nobody came. That is, not a TV camera, not one radio station, two small, pretty emit, print outlets came. We're grateful to them. But clearly a decision was made not to cover this, and I want to challenge those media giants who didn't come to explain how that blackout was not motivated by a conflict of interest.
If I could interrupt the lady for a moment. We are a nation which, as I think everybody knows, is pretty equally divided. The last election, Mr. Gore and Mr. Nader received somewhat more votes than Mr. Bush and Mr. Buchanan. Congress is almost equally divided. The Senate is almost equally divided. Polls show certain number of people, Democrats, equal number of people, Republicans. You got a lot of independents out there. This is not an extreme right-wing country. Just is not. And I would ask people to think for a moment about the phenomenon of talk radio. In a nation which is divided pretty equally politically, people on the left, people on the right, let me just mention the folks who are on talk radio. Rush Limbaugh, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, Sean Hannity, Armstrong Williams, Blakita Kolum, Michael Savage, Niels Bohr, Bob Grant, Bob Dornan, Michael Medved, Michael Reagan, Matt Drudge, Laura Schlesinger, Don Imus, Michael Graham, Ken Hamblin, Laura Ingraham, and many, many others. What do they have in common? They're all extreme right wing. And now, let me read you the names of the progressive voices. That's it. There aren't any. There aren't any. Liberal voices, virtually none. Now, how come in a nation in which more people voted for Gore than for Bush, there are no national voices speaking for working families, speaking for the middle class, speaking for the environment, speaking for women's rights? No voices. I'm not talking about a minority. I'm talking about no. No voices. Is that an accident? Well, as Ms. Schakowsky was just saying, I don't think it's an accident. I think one has got to be very naive not to see the connection between the large corporations who own the media, their desire for lower taxes for the rich, their desire to take American jobs to China, where people are paid 20 cents an hour, their anti-unionism, their lack of respect for the environment, and the fact that talk radio is dominated by these right-wing forces. If Ms. Schakowsky would allow, I would like to...
If I could just add...
Sure, please.
Here's the final request I have, and it's so simple. that the Federal Communications Commission, before it makes a decision on June 2nd to allow even greater concentration, would travel around the country and hold more public forums, listen to the people, give an opportunity to the 1,000 people that wrote to me and the thousands and millions more who want to participate in this decision-making, let their voices be heard. And finally, I want to say, let us consider, and I hope pass, Mr. Hinchey's House Resolution 218, which calls on the FCC not to weaken current ownership rules that protect media diversity, and also calls on the FCC to better examine and inform the public about the consequences of further media concentration and allow the public to comment on any proposed changes. This is the least we can do to protect the freedom of speech. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Congresswoman. Thank you for all of your efforts on this issue, and I think your appeal is exactly right. Why should not the American people be able to participate in this debate? It's my pleasure now to introduce, from the state of Washington, Congressman Jay Inslee.
Well, thank you for letting me join you. I think this is perhaps one of the most important and least talked about issues in American democracy during this Congress. And it's fascinating to me that an issue that has such large ramifications, has such a bearing on Americans' ability to know what's going on in their government and their world, is such a closely held secret from the American people. And the reason it's a closely held secret is it's not reported in the media. One of the most important contentious issues. This should make great fodder for TV talk show and radio talk show and newspapers. It ought to sell a lot of newspapers because it's contentious. And there's a blackout on this subject for the American people. And that's why I want to thank Mr. Sanders for doing this special order to talk about it. And the reason I've come to the floor this afternoon is I think it strikes at the heart of a very basic American value. And there's five American values that are actually inscribed on the bar of the House. Right behind Mr. Sanders, I can read them. They're union, justice, tolerance, liberty. And that's the one that is in question here, is the liberty interests of Americans, because you can't have liberty or democracy if you don't have multiple sources of information. And clearly, when the rules were amended years back, to allow further consolidation in the industry, guess what you got? You got further consolidation in the industry. It's not exactly rocket science that will be required to predict the results if the FCC allows this further deregulation of the industry. If they do allow further consolidation in the industry, you will have further consolidation in the industry. And when you have further consolidation in the media industry, you have fewer real choices to get access to diverse opinions, Republican, Democrat, up or down, left or right, tall or short. You will have real less choice. And let me say why that has been borne out in real practice. Some of the people who have advocated for this change to allow further consolidation in the industry, to allow the bigger to get bigger and swallow the smaller stations, have suggested that because, for instance, there's a lot of radio stations still out there, that, in fact, there's no damage to the value of liberty and diverse opinions. But they forget one very central fact. When you want to know whether there's diverse opinions in the media, you have to follow a rule. And that rule is this: follow the money. You might have 10, 15, 100 radio stations, but if they're all owned by the same corporation or individual, you don't have 100 voices. You have the same person with 100 megaphones. Does that help American democracy? Does that help diverse opinions? No. It centralizes. It reduces the number of voices that Americans have. And that's exactly what the empirical evidence has shown. Since the last effort to allow consolidation of the industry, we have 34% fewer owners of radio stations. Now, it's of academic interest how many stations we have, but we have fewer voices because we have fewer owners of radio stations, and we have fewer views on the spectrum of political thought and historic thought and his spiritual thought than we should have, because we allowed more consolidation, and we got more consolidation, and we have less liberty interest as a result because there's fewer voices in the spectrum to be heard. Now, I want to say just one more thing, and I'll yield to Mr. Sanders. To me, a taste of what is coming in the media we have in what we got from the FCC, which is a blackout. Because here we have this incredibly important rule to American democracy. What did the FCC do? What did they do that they're supposed to be working for us? They held one hearing in Virginia.
After being begged to do that.
After being begged by multiple people in the U.S. Congress, they held one hearing 2,500 miles from my district. You know, the Forest Service, by contrast, when they considered the roadless rule, which is another important rule, they held 600 hearings, multiple hearings in the state of Washington. This is under the cover of darkness. This avoids sunlight, which is the best antidote to any virus in political thought. And it's a rotten shame the FTC has to do this under the cover of darkness.
And if I might, I would mention to my friend that the FCC has a website, and apparently people can email in there, and the overwhelming majority of people who are contacting the FCC are saying, do not go forward with more deregulation, which I find interesting, and your point is well taken. I think that there would be tens of thousands of people from California to Maine coming out to these hearings if they had the courage to meet the people rather than just talk to the big corporate bosses.
And if I may report from Seattle what happened, two courageous members of the FCC came out and were willing to listen to citizens on their own time a few months ago, and over 300 people, I think, turned out once we got a little bit of the news out. We didn't have much cooperation from the media, of course, who about 99.9% of them in the audience were very, very concerned about this further consolidation. And I think that voice is an overwhelming one across America.
Before I introduce Congresswoman Watson from California, I want to touch on another aspect of this issue. People may say, well, this is inside the Beltway. Maybe members of Congress are complaining they didn't get a good story. They're angry about their lack of coverage. That is not the issue here. The issue here is that in a democratic society, you do not know what goes on unless all issues of importance are discussed. It's not whether somebody gets a good story, whether they're on TV or not. It's whether whole segments of American life get the discussion that they need. Now, we know that we have seen everything that we ever wanted to see about Michael Jackson, about all the other scandals that we have heard about. But here's an issue that gets very little discussion. We have been told that with all of the explosion of technology, with the global economy, with the use of computers and emails and faxes, what we are told, which is true, is that the productivity of the American, average American worker has substantially increased. That's the good news. The bad news is that the tens of millions of Americans today, despite the increase in productivity, are working longer hours for lower wages. The reality is that in America, we have lost several million jobs, decent-paying jobs, in the last few years because of a disastrous trade policy where companies are throwing American workers out on the street and running to China. Have you seen much discussion about that on the TV, in the newspapers? I don't think so. The reality is the middle class in this country is shrinking. The rich are becoming richer. The richest 1% own more wealth than the bottom 95%. How does that touch into the media? What the media does to a large degree is try to deflect our attention. Here's a scandal. We hope you'll get involved in that. Here's a ball game. We want you interested in that. But don't worry if your job goes to China. Not important. Don't worry if the minimum wage hasn't been raised in years and you're making $5.15 an hour. You don't have to worry about that. Don't worry if the pharmaceutical company has contributed tens and tens of millions of dollars to the Republican Party so they end up paying the highest prices in the world for prescription drugs. You're too dumb to worry about that. We've got another scandal for you. So the issue does relate to the lives and well-being of every American in our country. We have a right. We're not stupid people. We believe in democracy. We understand honest people have differences of opinion. but we want to be able to discuss the most important issues facing the middle class, facing working families. And we're not able to do that because of the enormous conflicts of interest that exist between these very, very large corporations. I would now like...
Just one more quick point. This is an issue that ought to unite Republicans and Democrats. It really should. And I know Mr. Sanders has talked about talk radio, but I just believe no matter whether you're vanilla or chocolate or Neapolitan here, you ought to stand up and saying that it's not healthy when America has 20-30% less TV stations and half as few newspapers. This should be an all-American, bipartisan statement that America deserves diverse opinions so that they can make decisions and don't have to trust just one, and I want to thank you for this effort.
Well, I want to thank you, Jay, very much for your efforts. Diane Watson is a courageous congresswoman from the state of California, active on this issue. Diane, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, on June 2nd, the FCC is scheduled to meet to discuss a proposal by Chairman Powell to relax regulations on media ownership. The proposal will allow large media companies to acquire a bigger share of the national market and more television stations in any given local media market. Other restrictions on cross-ownership, owning radio stations, TV stations, and newspapers in the same local market will also be lifted. Many of us here in Congress are concerned that the rule changes proposed by Chairman Powell have not been properly vetted for public and congressional comment, and that their impact on minority media ownership and content could be deleterious. Minority owners and their share of the radio and television market, it is at an all-time low due to media consolidation during the last two decades. Chairman Powell's proposed rule changes could provide the knockout blow not only to minority ownership, but to a diversity of opinions and viewpoints that are critical to the free flow of information in a democratic society. I am very concerned during this period of time that there is a climate that says you can't say this, you can't say that, you cannot dissent. It is a threat to democracy. Now, as a member of the Congressional Black Caucus, we are getting to Chairman Powell our concerns, because the FCC, as a federal regulatory agency for mass media communications, it has long established rules following the 1945 Supreme Court declaration that the widest possible dissemination of information from diverse and antagonistic sources is essential to the welfare of the public, that a free press is a condition of a free society. Over the past two decades, however, many rules designed to enhance diversity, competition, and localism have been weakened, creating unprecedented consolidation of media sources. For example, since the passage of the 1996 Telecommunications Act, the number of radio station owners has decreased by at least 1,100, representing a 30% decline. Among the remaining radio station owners, only 175 minority broadcasters owned 426 stations in 2000. Are about 4.0% of the nation's 10,577 commercial AM and FM radio stations. Furthermore, most of these minority owners continue to own AM rather than FM stations, thus facing limited listenership. minority owners' share of the commercial television market is even more distressing. As large conglomerates continue to consolidate ownership of television stations throughout the 1990s, only 23 full power commercial television stations were owned by minorities at the end of the decade, representing only 1.9% of the country's 1,288 licensed stations. That level is the lowest since the tracking of such data. In addition, since most minority owners are primarily single station operators, they face additional difficulty in competing against the larger group owners. The consolidation of media ownership has also adversely impacted programming diversity. For example, Clear Channel Communications, which controls over a quarter of the nation's commercial radio market, has instituted homogeneous playlists nationwide, eliminated playtime for local musicians, and severely cut back most local news services. Black Entertainment Television, after its merger with media giant Viacom, canceled many of its popular public affairs programs, including BET Tonight with Ed Garden, Lead Story, and Teen Summit. These examples are object lessons on how media consolidation could limit creative voices, dissenting views, and consumer choice. Our airways need to have the widest range of viewpoints that are representative of American society. So, Mr. Speaker, it's an outrage that we would be considering even more consolidation. Where are our voices going to be heard? I am very troubled with the atmosphere in which we live in America today, because we are being muzzled, we're being gagged by the big boys, and that's trouble for a democratic system. Thank you so much, Mr. Speaker. Thank you so much, Congressman.
Thank you. I want to pick up on a point that the Congresswoman made. She mentioned Clear Channel, and some people say, well, yeah, Clear Channel is a radio network, but they are much more than a radio network. And the point that I'm trying to make, and all of us have been trying to make today, getting back to this chart, is that a handful of giant media conglomerate corporations is owning more and more of what we see, hear, and read. And this is not what a democracy is about. I would remind my colleagues in Congress and all Americans that in the last days of the Soviet Union, which was a totalitarian society, you know, people thought, well, I guess they had one newspaper and one television network, and that was it. It was a totalitarian society. That's wrong. There were dozens and dozens and dozens of different newspapers, different magazines, different television stations all over the totalitarian Soviet Union. The only problem was that all of those television stations, radio stations, newspapers and magazines were only controlled by either the government of the Soviet Union or the Communist Party. Many, many different outlets, but limited ownership. What we're seeing here is many, many outlets, increasingly fewer owners. Let me say a word about News Corporation. People probably don't know what is News Corporation? Well, News Corporation is owned by a gentleman named Rupert Murdoch, who was born in Australia. He was part of a newspaper publishing family in Australia. News Corporation today owns much of the media in Australia. Big deal. Well, they also own much of the media in the United Kingdom. They own a lot of the media in Eastern Europe. They are increasingly owning more media in China. And guess what? They already own a whole lot of media and other companies in the United States, and they want more. So what you're looking at is one man who happens to be a right-wing billionaire controlling huge amounts of media all over the entire world, which makes him, in fact, one of the most powerful people in the world. In the United States, News Corporation, owned by Mr. Murdoch, owns 22 television stations, including stations in New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Dallas, Washington, Minnesota, Houston, Orlando, and Phoenix. He owns the Fox Broadcasting Network. He owns Fox News. He owns Fox Kids, Fox Sports, the Health Network, the National Geographic. He owns TV Guide. He owns the TV Guide channel. He owns Fox Sports Radio, the Golf Channel. He also is not content with broadcast media. He happens to own the New York Post. And this is really a small number of what he owns. He owns the Times in London, one of the leading papers in the United Kingdom. He owns the Sun in the United Kingdom, one of the large circulation tabloids there. He owns News of the World. He owns the TV Guide magazine in the United States. He owns a magazine, conservative magazine, called the Weekly Standard. But that's not all that he owns. He owns HarperCollins, one of our major publishing houses. He owns Regan Books. He owns Amistad Books. He owns William Morrow and Company. That means if you want to get a book published, you've got to go through these guys. Now, not only that, he has tremendous impact on sports in America. People say, well, I don't care about books, you know, but I really am interested in sports. Well, he happens to own, or at least be part owner, of the Los Angeles Dodgers, the Los Angeles Kings, the Los Angeles Lakers, the New York Knickerbockers, the New York Rangers. Well, I'm not interested in sports, but I'm interested in music. Well, he owns Festival Records, he owns Mushroom Recording, and he owns much, much more. Now, the point here is it's not just Mr. Murdoch and News Corporation. I talked about Viacom before. It's not just AOL Time Warner. It's not just Disney. It's not just Clear Channel. It is a handful of corporations that control more than you think they do. And the end result of that is that entire issues of great concern to the American people are not discussed at all, because these guys really are not interested in discussing it. I read recently that Mr. Bush's proposal for a $720 billion in tax breaks is gaining support in America. Well, I can see why. Because there has been relatively little opportunity in the media for those of us who disagree, who think that it is a bad idea that the richest one-tenth of 1% gets as much in tax breaks as the bottom 89%. How many people know that? How many people know that as a result of that budget, there will likely be cutbacks in Medicaid, Medicare, veterans' needs, education, environmental protection? Because if you give away all of that money, you're going to have less for the needs of working families and the middle class. How many people know that if you do that huge tax break, you're going to end up with a $10 trillion national debt that we're leaving to our kids and our grandchildren? Not a whole lot of discussion about that, because Mr. Murdoch and the guys who make tens of millions of dollars a year want tax breaks for the rich. They want the American taxpayer to subsidize them, to give them billions of dollars in corporate welfare. Do you think they're going to be talking? General Electric, which owns NBC, is going to be talking about all the welfare that General Electric gets through its nuclear power efforts? Maybe, but I don't think so. Do you think the General Electric that owns NBC will be talking about all the jobs that GE destroyed in the United States, all the American workers they threw out on the streets as they moved to Mexico and China? I don't think so. So this issue is not some kind of inside the beltway abstract issue. It gets to the heart and the soul and the core of what America is about. And that is, if we are to remain a democracy where honest people have honest differences of opinion, we've got to get all of the information. We can't have a handful of conglomerates who have their own special interest determining what we see, hear, and read. And that is why, just to recapitulate what all of my colleagues who have been up here have said, it is enormously important that on June 2nd, the FCC does not go forward and further deregulate the media so that you will end up with even a smaller number of large corporations controlling what we see, hear, and read. At the very least, Mr. Powell has got to stop the process. He's got to have public hearings all over America. We need studies to understand what this will mean, what the more deregulation will mean to the quality of American democracy, what it will mean to the ability of communities to get local news, what it will mean to small businesses and the ability of small businesses to function within the media area. This is an enormously important issue. I would hope that anyone who needs more information on this can go to my website at bernie.house.gov. I would hope that people will get involved in this extremely important issue, and I want to thank all of the members of Congress who have been here today. And, Mr. Speaker, I now yield back the balance of my time.